Hi everyone, thanks for coming at this early hour. Today here we'll have basically a 1 hour walkthrough of building a Wikidata tool by Lucas, who works for Wikimedia but has independently of that built a wide range of Wikidata tools, I guess. So give a hand for Lucas.
Hi, I'm Lucas. I work at Wikimedia Germany on the software development team for Wikidata, but I also write some tools for Wikidata in my private time. Not really a wide range, I think, but a few of them. What I'm doing now is just private stuff, not related to WMDE directly. But what we're going to build is a tool for Wikidata, so a tool generally is almost anything that people use to interact with Wikidata or with Wikipedia or something that's not part of the wiki software itself. But more specifically, we're going to build a tool on this Wikimedia ToolForge platform, where the Wikimedia Foundation takes care of the hosting for us, so we don't have to rent a server or take care of TLS certificates or anything. We just write the code for the tool, and the foundation hosts it for us, which is nice. And more specifically, we're going to build a tool for patrolling recent changes. So on Wikidata, when a new user or a user who isn't even logged in makes an edit, that edit is marked as unpatrolled. And then later, some experienced editors can go through the list of unpatrolled changes and see, are these changes okay? Do they make sense? Or perhaps someone made a mistake and this should be done differently? Or perhaps it's just vandalism? And then they can mark the edit as patrolled, or they can improve it or revert it and then mark it as patrolled. So marking the edit as patrolled doesn't mean that the edit is good or bad. It just means no one needs to look at this anymore. It's done for now. And we're going to build a tool that helps people with that a bit. And so I'm going to do this now within 1 hour, perhaps 1.5 hours, depending on how long it takes, which is obviously not really realistic for building a full tool, because I practiced this a few times now. But I would say that the tool that we are going to build now would be realistic, I think, as a weekend project. And I don't mean a crazy 12 hours each day hackathon weekend, but just a normal relaxed weekend where you have perhaps a few hours each day that you can spend on playing with this tool and experimenting with it, and then at the end of the weekend you might have some first version of the tool and then you can improve on that. I think that would be more or less the realistic timescale for what's going to happen now. And we're going to create the tool using a template that takes care of a lot of boilerplate code for us. So that's called a cookie cutter template, and the template is under my name and it's called Cookie Cutter ToolForge, and then it's going to ask us a few questions, and please let me know immediately if this is not readable. So the tool identifier is going to be speed patrolling, and the full name is speed patrolling with some uppercase letters so it looks nicer. The maintainer name, that's my own username, and my email address in case something goes really wrong is this. And the tool is going to work on wikidata.org and not on any other wiki, so that's just okay. No! I practiced this like yesterday evening! Who created this tool? Damn it! Did I create that accidentally? Hang on. First problem of the day. Did I create a... No, I did not. Who created speed patrolling? Well, if the tool name is already taken, we'll just have to make up a different one, I guess. So let's instead call it, yes, thank you, quick patrolling, and copy the rest of the information. Okay, do I not have an internet connection anymore? That would be, of course, wonderful. Oh, that would also be why this doesn't work, because I don't have internet, apparently. I do have DNS. What the hell? Wikidata is running. But tool... Oh, now it's running. Oh, tools dot... Oops, sorry, that is, of course, WMF labs. Okay. I'll just try again with speed patrolling, I guess. No. Okay. Why? What can I do? Let me just delete this. And oops, this is what I meant. Yes, yes. And try to run it again. And kill it, and then we have cookie cutters, there it is, and I'm just going to disable this hook, and then we will be able to proceed with the template at least. Speed patrolling, and then we'll see later if we're actually able to create the tool or not, but we'll just bypass this warning. For now. There we go. Okay. And I'm just going to open a new terminal. There we go. So here, let's open the README first that is generated for us. It says for local development setup, we want to run this command. So to install the dependencies, which should hopefully not take too long. There we go. And then we can run this command to run the tool for now, just on our local system. And we can open this URL in a browser. And there we go. There's a first version of the tool. And here's a long page that tells you all kinds of things about how you would proceed with building the tool, the next steps. And if you're building the tool, you should definitely follow this page because it's hopefully useful, but I'm going to skip most of it just for time reasons. So we're going to create the tool account on Wikimedia Toolforge immediately because that takes a few minutes behind the scenes and I don't want to wait for that later. So let's create speed patrolling. No, that is indeed already in use or invalid. Can I use quick patrolling? No. Speedy. Speed minus patrolling? That's available. Okay, so I guess it's now called speed minus patrolling. Speed patrolling with a space in that case, I guess. And I already wrote the description, so I'll just copy that. It is a tool to patrol unpatrolled recent changes on Wikidata, marking them as patrolled or rolling them back as appropriate, given sufficient user rights. The software will be the AGPL, and the tags are Wikidata and patrol. And create the tool, and now behind the scenes some stuff is happening that we don't care about for now, sorry. And instead, we're going to move ahead and register an OAuth consumer. So OAuth is... oops, this is not readable, by the way. Sorry. OAuth is how we talk to Wikidata, and because we need to do things on behalf of our user, the tool user, but we don't want them to just give us their username and password, because that would be terrible. And then if my tool gets hacked, all my users are compromised as well, which I don't want. So instead, we're going to use OAuth and say, this tool only needs to be able to do these few things. And we never see the user's password. We just see a bunch of tokens, which Wikidata will give us. And usually, this is not the first thing you do when you start working on the tool. Usually, you can hack around a bit and then eventually get around to adding OAuth. But we need OAuth actually just to get a list of unpatrolled changes, because that's not public. So we need to have the privileges of our tool user even to just see which changes are not patrolled yet, which changes we should show to the user. So we're going to start with that. And our consumer is going to be called Speed Patrolling. The version is going to be 1.0-dev. 0.1. Let's make it 0.1. And I wrote the description as well. Do not approve this consumer. We will see in a second why. And the callback URL is going to be what it says here, except it's going to be speed minus patrolling, because speed patrolling was apparently taken. This consumer will only work on Wikidata and not on any other wiki. And the rights we need are to patrol changes and to rollback changes. So we will only be able to mark changes as patrolled and to revert them if necessary, and we don't want any other privileges. So even if this tool gets compromised, no one can make weird edits using it. And I accept and acknowledge all these things, and I'm going to propose the consumer. And no, apparently, oh, that's an invalid value. Can I use it in lowercase? Yes, okay. And here we have a consumer token and a secret token, which is why I put this big uppercase do not approve this consumer in that description, because this secret token is now public to all of you and to the entire internet. So we're going to copy these for now and add them to the so we're going to copy the config YAML example file to a real config file, ensure that no one else can read it, and then edit it and put the consumer key here and the consumer secret here. And we can also fill in this secret key just with a bunch of keyword mashing, that's fine. And now next we need to tell the admins that we have requested this consumer. So we do that on this page using this template. So we copy this example code and edit this section of manual requests and add our own request at the bottom, which just says OAuth approval request for speed patrolling. The app name is speed patrolling, the version is 0.1-dev, the publisher is myself, and the consumer key is this thing. And my comments I've already written to tell the people that they're not supposed to approve this consumer, because the secret token is actually public. So let's check if that looks more or less okay. Yes, okay. So add OAuth approval request. So if this OAuth tool is not accepted, then I will be the only one who is able to use it. So I can test using my account right now, but no one else will be able to use this tool right now. And then later I will request a different consumer, and that's going to be the real one where the secret token is actually secret. But usually, of course, if you're building the tool, then you just request one consumer and don't tell the admins to not approve that consumer, because that's a bit weird. Okay, so now we should be able to go back to this tool and open the login page. Aha, okay, no, hang on a second. We've changed the config file, so we need to restart the server. Let's do that. There we go. Speed patrolling wants to interact patrol changes and rollback changes. I'm going to allow that. And of course, this goes to the callback URL we specified, which we haven't set up yet. So I'm just going to edit all this to go back to localhost port 5000. And oops. OAuth. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Okay, let's try going back here, and I might need to clear out some storage because I, as I said, I practiced this a few times, so there might be some old cookie hanging around there. So let's go to login and do this again and edit the URL again, localhost port 5000 / OAuth. There we go. And now I'm logged in as Lukas Werkmeister. Okay, so now we should be able to make API requests to Wikidata using this account here. So let's start by actually editing the tool's code. There's a lot of example code here which we can use, and we're going to start. We will need some kind of authorized session, so we can just copy this code from here. So this is already some code that makes an API request, in this case to get the user's gender. We don't need that, but we do need this part, which just sets up the session using the OAuth token, and we're going to put that in a new method, authenticated session, and paste all this here. And if there is no auth access token in the session, then for now we just return none, and this will probably crash sooner or later, but I don't care. And instead of assigning this, we return this session. And now we need to get a list of unpatrolled recent changes so that we can pick one of them and show it to the user. So we're going to write a new method for that, unpatrolled changes, and get the session and make an API request. So to figure out what that looks like, we can use the API sandbox on Wikidata, which is a extremely useful way to just play with the API and experiment with it. So if we want to get a list of anything, so like a list of the recent changes, we're usually going to use this query module, and then here it asks us which list would we like, and there is a list called recent changes, which sounds very promising, and specifically we want we're not interested in the timestamp and title, actually. We only need the IDs of the changes. We only want unpatrolled changes, and we would like as many as possible. And that's it, I think. So we can make the request here, and we see a bunch of results, and we're going to make the same request over in the tool. So we need a get request. Action is query. Is that okay? I'm just going to continue. I hope it's not too bad. We want list to be recent changes. No, it's not the cat, I think. I'll just let's mute. Okay, it is this microphone. That's very inconvenient. Okay, I'll try to continue like this for now until they've set up. Oh, no. Where is this coming from? Okay. Okay, am I? Okay, so I'll just have to lean here because I have to talk and type at the same time. Sorry. Around here, I guess. Is this okay? Yeah, okay. That sounds great, thank you. So we want a list of recent changes, and rc prop equals IDs, and RC show unpatrol, we just copy everything from the API request we just made, and RC limit should be max. And then we're going to get a list of these results. So actually, for each result in the result of this, and from there the query recent changes part. We also want, so there's some indication here, if we want to get more changes than we already have, we can continue the API request. And this library, this Python library, which we're using to interact with the API, can follow that automatically. So we're going to specify continuation equals true, I think. And then that's a list of we get a list of results, and then each of them has looks like this. So for change in result, recent query, recent changes, and now changes one of these objects, and we want to just return the revision ID. And now to just try out if this works, we're going to write a quick debug method, which returns the first element of these unpatrolled changes, and make that available under the debug endpoint. And now we can open slash debug in the browser, and int object is not callable, so we need to return a string of this, actually, I think. Yes, okay, so there we have a random revision ID of an unpatrolled change. We can quickly look at that just to verify. Yes, I can mark this edit as patrolled, so it's not patrolled yet, so that works. And next we want to have, so we want the user to visit a page like diff, and then it's going to, okay, you can see in my history where I'm going with this, because as I said, did this before. So this diff page is going to pick a random recent change that's unpatrolled and then redirect to that. So we are going to write this diff endpoint next. We are going to do that somewhere up here, just below the index HTML. Sorry, I wasn't. So just below index HTML, we add a new route for diff. We are going to call that method anyDiff, and we take the first ID from these unpatrolled changes. So I lied when I said it's a random one. It's just we take the first one, and that's it for now. And we return a redirect to the URL for a diff page where the ID is this ID. And diff is the next method we're going to return. So that's a route that's below slash diff slash, and here goes the ID. And for now, we're just going to return the string of this ID, and then we'll take care of that in a second. But if I now go to slash diff, then I've been redirected to the diff page for this. And I could, just to verify that this works, hello world. And if I reload this again, then I see the hello world here. Okay. So now we should actually populate this page with something. And what we want to do first is just show the diff to the user. And for that, we're going to embed the diff page from MediaWiki. So something like this page, except that's there's a lot of clutter here that we don't really want to embed. There's the Wikidata logo. There's the whole sidebar. There's my notifications up here. So we don't really want to show all that to the user. So fortunately, there's a different special page called mobile diff, which we can use. And if we open it on the mobile site, then we get a much more, a much more minimal representation of the difference with almost no clutter around the page. So that's what we want to embed. So let's create a real template for this page. The templates are here in the templates directory. There are some example templates from the template, which we can delete eventually, but for now we just keep them. And we copy greet.html to diff.html and edit diff.html. And instead of this hello whatever, we're going to embed an iframe. It's going to be 100% wide, and let's say 70% of the viewport high, and the source is going to be mwikidata.org special mobile diff, and here goes the ID, and close the iframe again. And now here, instead of just returning the ID, we are going to return render template. The template name was diff.html, and there's one parameter, which is this ID. And now we reload this, and we should see a surprise. Okay. So when I tested this, Wikidata wouldn't let me embed this, and I had to add a whole ugly workaround. But apparently this is working now. So let's proceed with that and be happy that I don't need to spend 5 minutes on the workaround and see if it becomes necessary later. So we've embedded the difference page right now. Because I'm so zoomed in, by default you can't actually see the difference, but that's not going to be a problem later because I'm only zoomed in right now for the presentation. So real users should hopefully be able to see the difference here. And now, so below this embedded iframe, we're going to add a new row. So there's just some standard boot class bootstrap thing. So outside of the row, so we want to add a few buttons so that users can do stuff, and we're going to do that with an HTML form. So let's add a form instead. It's going to post to our endpoint and then close the form again. And also, because we're using a form, we need to include protection against cross-site request forgery. Otherwise, other people on the internet will be able to use our tool to make a random users patrol random edits, which is not what we want. And to protect us against that, we can copy something from this praise.html, because that also has a form. And there's a CSRF token here. We just copy this whole line. And then later we'll have to take care of that in our Python code, but most of this is already provided by the template as well. Okay, now that we have that, we're going to have a row with three columns. So that's a column, SM. And inside the column, there's going to be a button, which is a bootstrap button, a primary one. And this is going to be called skip. So that's the most important button. If the user doesn't understand this edit, we don't want to force them to do anything. So skip should be definitely the first option they have to just go to the next edit. And this is going to post to a skip endpoint. And then we copy this two more times, once for a patrol button and once for a rollback button, which go to rollback and patrol respectively as well. And also, I forgot something earlier. So we don't want this patrol or rollback button to be enabled if the user doesn't actually have permissions to patrol or rollback. Or specifically, rollback is limited to a few hundred users, I think, on Wikidata. So most users of our tool will probably not be allowed to rollback, so we don't want to show them this button, which would be misleading. So we will want to disable that. So for that, we need to make some more API calls to figure out if the user is actually allowed to patrol. So let's go back to the API sandbox. And we still want to query something. But this time, we want to query some meta information, specifically user info. Oops, that didn't work. And what we want of the user is the user's rights. And if I make this request, we see I have this rollback right. It's even at the top of the list, apparently. So we want to get this list of all the rights which the user has and check, can they actually roll back? And if they can, then we just disable that button. So first, we're going to add a method here, def user rights. So again, we get an authenticated session. And then we return session get action query. And what was it? Meta user info and UI prop is rights. And from the response, we want the query member and then the user info member and then the rights member. And that should return us this array of user rights. And we want to have a helper method, just user can patrol, which just checks if patrol is in user rights. And copy that again for patrol instead of rollback instead of patrol. And these two should also be available in the template. Template global, we're going to see that in a second, what that does. And let's test it with the debug method, which we already have here. So let's return string of user rights and a space, string of user can patrol, string from user can rollback, and go back to the tool, back to debug. And we see here's the list of my rights, and I can patrol, and I can rollback. So those methods seem to work great. And now in here, we want to make something conditional. If not, the user can patrol. So this method is now available here because we've made it, we've declared it as a template global. And if the user can patrol, then we just say this button is disabled. And we do exactly the same thing down here with the rollback button, except the method is, of course, now user can rollback. And now if we reload this page again, we should see the three buttons. And oh, there's still all three primary buttons. Let's fix that. This is a success button, I think. And this is a danger button. And now they all have three different colors, which is nice. And apparently there's something here. Looks like a typo. Yeah, there. Okay, and the buttons aren't centered yet, or we could change the design further, but for now this is just enough for me at least. And now we need to actually deal with what happens if users do something with these buttons. So if I click skip, then it's going to go to skip, and the server is going to say, I don't know what that means, so we're going to implement that. And we start with skip, which is fairly easy. So we go back where we already had this thing, diff endpoint, and now we're going to define diff skip. And the route is diff, the ID is still there, and then skip. And this only accepts post requests, not get requests. And we're going to, first of all, we should check if this is a valid request or not, so to protect ourselves against CSRF. So there's a method down here called submitted request valid, and we're just going to say if that's not the case, then we return just a simple string saying CSRF error and a generic client error as the HTTP status code, and we can later perhaps turn that into a nicer page, but for now that's good enough. And now we know it's a real request, so we should So what we should actually do when the user says, I want to skip this edit, we want to load the next one. But if we just do that and nothing else, then we'll just load the same edit again and again, because that's still the most recent unpatrolled edit. And so we need to store somewhere that the user has already wanted to skip this change or this ID. So we're going to store that in the user's session. So we're going to get a list of skipped IDs from the session, which Flask gives us under the key skipped IDs. And if it's not in the session yet, because we've never put it there, we fall back to an empty list. And now we append to that list the ID which we have. And then we store it again. Session skipped IDs is skipped IDs. And then we return actually the same thing as up here. No, not quite the same thing. And we return a, where is it? Here. A redirect for the URL for the anyDiff endpoint, which is defined up here. So the URL for always takes the method name. And that doesn't need any parameters. So let's hope that this works. Let's just reload this. Oops. No, I think I just need to reload. That happens, I think, if the code is partially loaded. Aha, a secure cookie session object is not callable.
Oh, right. Okay, so the we can actually try out this in-browser debugger, which you get, which is really convenient if you use Flask. So we just need to pick out the pin from the output of the server process. It's right here. And then we can actually try out to run some code against this in our browser. So I could say, what is the ID of this request, for example? So that's really convenient. But in this case, we don't really know it. This should not be flask.session. This should be flask.session.get. So let's reload. And now it seems to be working. OK, we're now at this edit. And let's skip this. And I'm not sure if this is the same edit or a different one. ID ends in 88. And okay. No, we've so right now we're just adding to this list of skipped IDs again and again, but we're not using it. So up here in the anydiff, we shouldn't just take the first unpatrolled change. Instead, we should iterate over them in unpatrolled changes. If so, we get these skipped IDs from the session again, just like down here. And if the ID is in the skipped IDs, then we continue with the next ID. Otherwise, we return this redirect. So now we go through the recent changes until we find one that we don't want to skip yet. And we can optimize this in the future. Like right now, we're never ever removing any IDs from skipped IDs. So the list will just grow to infinity. But we can take care of that later. But let's try to skip this now. And now we should see a different edit, and try it again. We see again a different one. Yay. OK, so that's a skip taken care of. And next would be the patrol button. So if the user wants to patrol an edit, that's going to be almost the same route. Diff ID. Just patrol instead of skip. It's still just for post requests. And we also need to check if the request is actually valid and otherwise return an error. And now we need to make an API request to the MediaWiki API. So let's go again to the trusty API sandbox. And this time we don't want to get a list of anything. We want to patrol a change. So let's check if there is just an action called patrol. And in fact, there is, which is very nice. And this action just needs the revision ID, which we have, and a token. So we're going to need to supply this token. So first, we need an API request. So we need the session, authenticated session. And we first need to make a request to get this token for the MediaWiki API. So session get, it says action query meta equals tokens. Let's go back to the sandbox. Because we don't actually need a standard token, we need a special patrol token. So the request we need is action query. Meta equals tokens. And the type is we want a patrol token. And then in the response, we want query tokens patrol object. Patrol token, sorry. So there we should have a token. And now that we have that, we will be able to insert that here. And in the API sandbox, we can just fill it automatically. But to us, that's in the tool, we need to do it ourselves. And now we can just, so we don't want to make this request here right now because I haven't filled this in. But basically, we will need to post to the session with action being patrol. And the ref ID is the ID we have. And the token is the token we have. And if that was successful, we just want to redirect to the next diff. So just like here, we do the same thing. So let's go back to the speed patrolling tool. Let's just get a new diff. Oops. That should be methods equals post. Sorry. There we go. Changed claim website username. So it used to be just @, and now it's @BackhardXor. I don't want to patrol that. I want to skip that. Let's hope I can find an edit that I want to patrol quickly. So the Spanish description was changed. No. I don't want to patrol that either. No. Come on, give me some good edits. Okay, this sounds great. So here, a link to German Wikipedia was added for Stavnica, or Stavnica, I'm not sure. And this is supposed to be a Wikimedia disambiguation page, and this is also a disambiguation page. So I think this is a good edit, this makes sense. So I'm going to put, actually let's just quickly open this diff here. So currently I could still mark it as patrolled here because it hasn't been marked as patrolled yet. And now we try to patrol it from here. And there's no error. And if we reload the diff page here, then this link is gone because we've already patrolled. So that works as well. So the missing step would be rollback. Unfortunately, there seems to be a bug in MediaWiki. I couldn't figure out how to make a rollback via the API work. So we're just going to skip that for now and have a few more minutes instead. Because now a first version of the tool is more or less done. All we need to do now is to patrol this on Wikimedia Toolforge. So we already created this tool account, and we should be able to go into Toolforge. And, oops, I need to enter my SSH key. I hope no one can get the password from the keystroke sounds. There we are. And we want to become this speed patrolling account. That doesn't look good. I'm not a member of the group. Didn't I create the tool? Speed minus patrolling? Does it really take this long to propagate? So I'm in some tools, but not. Oh dear. Haha. I created this using my volunteer account, but this is actually my work laptop, so this I'm logged in here as my work account. Oh, damn. Okay. Okay. I think I can fix this. Let's SSH into my computer at home. And from there, we should be able to access Toolforge. And then, yes, I need to enter the passphrase again. And please just ignore what my computers are called. It's a silly scheme. And here I can become speed patrolling. Yes. OK. And so we need, I think there's some instructions for this on the index page, right? So I don't need to remember this. Yes. Deploy. So we've done create the tool account on Wikimedia Toolforge. We are just going to skip the source code repository step because that takes even longer. And instead, we're going to create the base directory of the tool. And now we need to get the source code on here. And we're just going to copy all the files. And then I'll take care of Git later. So for now, we just create a tarball, create zipped verbose of in the file tmspeedpatrolling.tar.gz of all the files here. Oops. Are there any hidden files? No. Okay, so I can just use this, hopefully. And now I can copy this speed patrolling to my computer at home, and now from there I can copy it onto Toolforge. And now I actually need to close this shell, I think, because it's so it's now in my home directory of the look of my user, and I'm going to copy speed patrolling tar.gz into the home directory of tools dot what was it called here? Speed patrolling. And now become that user again. And now we have the speed patrolling here, and we just want in the Python, we want to create a source directory, go there, and extract Spee's patrolling tower GZ. There we go. Now we have all the code here instead of doing a git clone. Okay, and we need to get a shell in with the right Python version. And then we need to set up a virtual environment where we're going to install all the dependencies so that we don't need to worry about which version of whatever library is installed globally. We just get our own environment. We want to copy this thing and upgrade pip itself, apparently. Let's hope that doesn't take too long. Okay. And then we want to install all the requirements which we have, so Flask and the library to talk to the MediaWiki API and everything else. And that might take a little while. I hope not too long. Yeah. So separate library to talk to OAuth and all kinds of things. It's downloading, installing. Looks like we're going to be done very soon. Okay, no, it still has to install all of them. Okay, now we're done. And we can exit this again. Now all we need to do is start the web service. Oops. And now we should be able to go to tools.wmflabs.org speed minus patrolling slash diff, because the index page is still the default thing. But, okay, it can take a few more seconds after starting or restarting the server until it works, so let's just retry. There's an internal server error. Why is that? Let's check the log. So this is the part that I didn't practice, because you can only create the tool once. So of course now that's what doesn't work. Anything here? Oh, of course, I didn't log in. So it's unable to get a list of unpatrolled recent changes. And ideally there should be better error handling for this, but I was just too lazy. So let's log in. And this time we will not have to mess with the callback ID. There we are. We're logged in, and now we can go to diff, and here we are. And that's a tool running on Wikimedia Toolforge in apparently around 45 minutes. Hooray. Which means we actually have at least 15 minutes for questions, which I did not expect at all. So I probably went way too fast here. I'm sorry. I was not sure if this would work, but do you have any questions? Come on. And yeah, otherwise, as I mentioned, if you want to do any of this yourself, like, this was not a complete introduction to how to build a tool, but if you need help with any step, then I will be in the kitchen area for the next, I think, hour or so, and there we can discuss anything you want, if there really aren't any questions right now. Okay. Was that a question? No. Okay. Then I guess we're done already. Thank you very much.